Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. This is the Conspiracy Theory Show. You know, every now and again, I talk about my quote-unquote paranoia, my crazy conspiracies, because you got to do that every now and again. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. If you do or don't, email me. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that email is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You can also just jump into the flash chat. I'm just sitting here. You can jump in, state your opinion. I might laugh. I might agree with you. You never know. Also, social media. Go to the Smooth Drama Facebook page. Request me. And I will add you back. I have enjoyed the plethora of requests that I've gotten recently. It's rather refreshing. And I hope that it continues and you guys will hit me up and we can talk a taste on it. Because I'm a talker. I can't deny that. And let me just get right into it. Well, just first, Google me. Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. We, you know, go from there. Meantime, starting off conspiracy, well, it ain't necessarily conspiracy theory, but it could be. I don't know if y'all saw up in Minnesota, everybody's having a fit over the Black Santa. Now, of course, Black folks are not surprised by that. Sort of like most Black folks weren't surprised that Donald Trump won, but, you know, every year, you get that somebody Black tries to do something that has something to do with the holidays and white folks lose their mind for some strange reasons. Like, you got to know there's going to be one Black person that tried to jump into the party every year. You got to realize it's going to happen. Even though you don't believe it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Case in point, my main man, Larry Jefferson Gamble, a retired U.S. Army veteran. Been playing Santa since he was 12 years old, reportedly. Folks had such a problem with a Black man playing Santa Claus, a.k.a. Satan Claus, but that's a whole nother show for a whole nother day, maybe the end of the year. The Minnesota Star Tribune had to shut down their comments section because folks was losing their damn mind. Like, what? A Black dude want to be Santa Claus? No! It's almost like, I think it was about 15 years ago, they had the play in New York. And Jesus was Black, and, you know, it was like they had to shut down the play because it was like, nah, that can't happen. You know, it's like this with the Black Santa Claus. Now, my theory is, I have my theories. Like, maybe it's like white people just can't, the thought of a Black man coming down the chimney. Well, maybe it's a thing like, you know, you got, and this is playing on that age-old paranoia, right? Birth of a Nation, the original Birth of a Nation paranoia. Wife up all night, making sure Santa gets that special cookie. in that milk and asking her how naughty and nice she was. It's just like white dude's nightmare. Like, no, don't give him the cookie. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe that's part of the legend of Krampus, right? Maybe the legend of Krampus is so revered and venerated in Europe because maybe Krampus was a black dude and he was just like kidnapping white people around Christmas time. I don't know. Maybe they want to be taken like Sherry Papini. If you don't remember who Sherry Papini is, she's the white woman who quote unquote was kidnapped in the Sacramento area, Northern California here. You know, I'm never going to let this story go. I mean, you know, first I want a public service announcement to all the Hispanic women, Mexican, Puerto Rican. If you look Hispanic in the Sacramento area, don't go to work. I suggest you fly out to Vegas or LA or any damn where out of SAC. And just a helpful tip. Right? You know. Because, I mean, we've seen the stories. I've talked about Charles Stewart where, you know, he shot his family, killed him, shot himself, but he blamed the black dude. And they caught a black dude, and the black dude confessed because they beat his ass for however long they beat you till you confess. And that's why I say to my Hispanic homies, Mexican, whatever, please. Please, if you got sick time, use it until they catch whoever they want to catch. Just don't go outside. Send the boys out to the store or something. This is where the Mexican men, y'all got to, because they said two Mexican women, Hispanic, whatever. This is where the homies got to step up. You got to go to the store. You got to do everything because, hey, your woman might not come back if you let her out in the Sacramento area because they're looking for the real kidnappers. Or as they tried to attest, they said, maybe it was sex traffickers. But we're going to go back over the facts again. Now, y'all tell me, am I a conspiracy theorist or maybe I might be making a little sense here. First, white woman says somebody non-white did something to her. She's kidnapped. Fact number one. Yeah. I mean, we know that non-white people do not kidnap white people in America. It's just, most of us know it won't end well. You're saying, I want to kill myself, or I'm trying to get someone to kill me. Right? I mean, we kind of know this, but we're going to suspend our belief here for a second. Again, because I'm going to keep, until they find the real, quote-unquote, kidnappers, we're going to ride on this. Okay, so here's the fact. A woman disappears for weeks. She came back reportedly 87 pounds, right, when they found her. I mean, so basically she comes back and it's like she was in that Stephen King movie Thinner. Thinner! I don't know if y'all remember that movie. Dude ran over the gypsy guy's kid, killed him, and he was like cursing him. Dinner, fat dude. And so he just, didn't matter how much he ate, he just lost weight. Dinner! birth. That's how she comes back. Like 87 pounds, a grown woman, not a little person, aka midget, whichever one, dwarf you want to call it, depending on how politically correct or whatever you want to be. Okay. Makes up once again the story that somebody non-white kidnapped a white person in America. Because, you know, that's what the Hispanics want to do. They want to kidnap healthy white women and sell them for sex trafficking. Only they didn't sell her. They just dropped her off on the freeway after 3 weeks of whatever. That's it. So, what does that have to do with Black Santa Claus? I don't know. But I'm just saying, as a conspiracy theorist, a white woman screaming, "Somebody did something to me! It's a Mexican!" I guess she didn't want, like, the Black Lives Matter people to be, like, on the doorstep talking about you lying. She's giving the brothers a break. I guess she had watched a couple of Trump rallies and was like, all right, I'm going to talk about the Mexicans or, quote-unquote, Hispanics. So we're going to pick on them. But I myself see the correlation and the connection. See, because we go back to Larry Jefferson Gamble. He's not a crackhead. He's what they say they love. He's a veteran, you know. Thank you for your service. Thank you, black man, for your service. So you hear that all the time. Thank you for your service. But it doesn't ring true. Black Army veteran. Not a pedophile. I mean, he's not a Catholic priest or anything like that, so he's safe under those conditions, right? Playing Santa all his life. If you look at the picture of him, I mean, he's got the white beard and everything. He didn't even have to put the fake beard on that bad Santa puts on in the movie. And he ain't trying to rob the mall or nothing. He don't have like a little black person henchman ready to steal the alarm code and break in and steal the safe. It's none of that. Just a dude who wanted to make little kids happy. I myself would be like, but I'm a hater first. You know, if you listen to the show, you know I hate this time of year. And for the opportunity to deal with a bunch of people's kids making unreasonable demands, farting, snotting, whatever nasty things kids can do all day, every day, talking crazy to you, parents talking crazy to you, and you trying to bring their unhappy asses, happy thoughts, unrealistic thoughts, because obviously, we know that, yeah, he's not going to show up. And if he did, they would shoot him in the chest. No matter how many reindeer he had or presents he had. Larry Gamble showing up, coming down the chimney, probably wouldn't be a good look. But, I mean, it's not that black folks don't expect this, right? It's more for me, like, you see the other white folks are shocked by it, like, what? This can't be happening in 2016. Getting mad over Black Santa at the mall in America. They just can't see it. for whatever reason, we can't do anything positive. Why, I don't know. And I guess at this point, it doesn't matter. It, I think it's just funny that it goes like that. But I think I need a break. This is J. Cole, False Prophet.
Somebody should have told me it would be like this, be like this, be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah. Life is a balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts. He's falling apart, but we deny it. Justifying a half-assed shit he dropped, we always buy it. When he tell us he is genius, but it's clearer lately. It's been hard for him to look into the mirror lately. There was a time when this nigga was my hero, maybe. That's the reason why his fall from grace is hard to take. Cause I believed him when he said his shit was pure, ain't he? The type of niggas where he river all around his face. The women, the dick riders, you know the yes men. Nobody with the balls to say something to contest them. So he grows out of control. Until the person that he truly was all along is starting to show. Damn, wonder what happened. Maybe it's my fault for idolizing niggas based off the words that he rapping. When come to find out, these niggas don't even write they shit. Here's some new style bubbling up, then they bite this shit. Damn, that's what I get for lying to myself. Well, fuck it, what's more important is he's crying out for help. While the world's egging him on, I'm begging him to stop it. Playing his old shit, knowing he won't stop it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, bro. I got a homie, he a rapper, and he wanna win bad. He wants the fame, the acclaim, the respect that's been had by all the legends. So every time I see him, he's stressing. Talking about niggas, don't fuck with him. This shit is depressing, and I know he's so bitter, he can't see his own blessings. Goddamn, nigga. You too blind to see you got fans, nigga. And a platform to make a classic rap song and change a nigga's life. But you too anxious living life. Always worry about the critics who ain't never fucking did it. I write what's in my heart, don't give a fuck who fucking with it. But in a sense, I can relate. The need to be great turns into an obsession and keeps a nigga up late. Writing words, hoping people observe the dedication that stirs into constantly. But intentions get blurred. Do I do it for the love of the music or is there more to me? Do I want these niggas to worship me? False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false prophet. These rappers insecure. They talk about being a man so much I finally understand that they ain't even sure about who they are and why they do this. Yes, I'm included in that category. Yes, a nigga who done had the glory. My highest moments come from telling all the saddest stories I've seen in my life. I be singing the right songs that raise the hair on my arm. My lowest moments came from trying too hard to impress the niggas that couldn't care for mom. Therefore, from here on out, my head go out. I care none's out. Oh, pennies, I wanna give hope like the fountains you throw pennies in. Hit the store, take your dish, make your wish. This is dedicated to the ones that listen to me on some faithful shit. I'm on some thankful shit, but the real God is in you, not the music you cop, man. I hear my old shit and know I can stop it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody
should have told me it would be like this.
Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told
me it would be like this.
He said it.
You
heard him, my man. Fire. Fire. We good, bro.
Together you got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was J. Cole, False Prophet. Reportedly, he's talking about Kanye West. I mean, I thought he was fooling himself for a long time, but we can talk about that another day. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. I have a problem with brothers when they start wearing shiny clothes. You know, it's, at that point, you start off hip-hop, and then you, like, shiny clothes, diamond teeth, all that. You start doing that, you're a little suspect. Plus, I'm one of the few people who remember him on Sway's show long time ago. And when he started talking about hip-hop is the exact opposite of gay. You could be around a woman and have womanly ways, but, you know, hip-hop is just so anti-gay. You know, Sway's looking at him like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, at that point, we kind of knew he was on that, whatever you want to call it, that Hollywood getting broken in tip. That's my nice way of saying it. The Hollywood getting broken in tip. On the tip. I don't know. Anyway, conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theory number one for me. Is government wants you dead, but not quickly. See, back in the day, it was about you didn't necessarily have to kill folks. I mean, one, you had black folks had meaning in life back in the day because we were slaves, so there was value in this. So, you know, if you can't get them locked up in jail, they're like, okay, we got to find a way to kill some of the least productive ones. Solves the problem, right? But I'm going racial when some of this is not racial, because I understand that, yeah, there's the racism, but then there's the classism. You know, wealthy people do not care about non-wealthy people, non-rich people, for that matter. You kind of, billionaires kind of shit on thousandaires. It's one of those things. It's a universal trait that always happens. My conspiracy theory, I'll start with health. How do you mess up people's health? We know that there's been the, as you want, you know, they used to have that war on drugs, Nancy Reagan. Just say no while my husband sells you drugs in the next room. But I'm digressing again. E-cigarettes. Y'all know. E-cigarettes is the new thing. They got like flavors and stuff now, like strawberry and if I'm not mistaken, they get cake flavors, fruit. I mean, they got all kinds of, I'm trying to think of that cheesecake. They got all these different flavors for e-cigarettes now. But what they don't talk about is the death part. Now, they're saying that vaping, as they call it, it's safer than traditional tobacco. Now, what I knew back in the days, I used to volunteer down in San Diego at a teenage pregnancy prevention project called Children Having Children. Shout out to Ms. Moss. Love you forever. Well, we did a little campaign on cigarettes. I mean, tobacco wasn't the issue. It was the 30, 40 other ingredients that they put into the tobacco that made cigarettes very unhealthy. you know, 30% of the current U.S. cancer deaths result from tobacco use, and we know it's because of the plethora of bad things that they put in cigarettes, aside from the nicotine. I mean, the list is very long, and it'd be a whole show talking about the shit that they put in cigarettes. But as most of you know, that cigarette smoking has declined, but it's still horrible. Now, we talk about vaping, introduced in the early 2000s, and supposedly, according to these so-called experts, they should be exceeding the use of traditional tobacco products within the next few years. Now, they say vaping is safer than conventional smoking. And here's what the quote unquote experts, you know, the people that the tobacco industry pays to put out reports. Anyway, the experts say 3-5% of the health risk of tobacco smoking is vaping. You know, it's like where tobacco was like 95-97% sure to kill you. The e-cigarettes is only 3-5%. So, my conspiracy theory of it killing you slowly is what we're talking about here, right? There's a need to have smokers because traditional cigarettes was killing folks, and they weren't gaining ground. So you create vaping, and vaping is quote unquote cool. It smells good. They got all these different flavors, and of course, they say the risk from e-cigarettes is about on par with the risk of living with a smoker and inhaling secondhand smoke. Now, as most of us know, secondhand smoke has killed a lot of people. Now, it's estimated that 1 billion people will have died over this past century from cancer cigarette smoking. Now, we know secondhand smoke is a killer. So basically, if you're smoking e-cigarettes, you're vaping, it's on par with living with a smoker and inhaling secondhand smoke. Now, I bring up cigarettes because, hell, I don't have to smoke cigarettes to die. Now, we talk about crack. We talk about heroin, coke. There are a lot of different drugs that we talk about, right? But you don't hear about secondhand crack killing people. It's like homie can do crack in the same room with you. You won't die. Somebody can do coke in front of you. I can watch dudes do coke all day. My health is not in danger. I mean, it might be in danger because they might do something stupid to me because they high on coke and might want to stab you or something. I mean, but as far as I'm watching them do coke, shoot up heroin, whatever their drug of choice is, you can watch them do it and your health is not affected. But this goddamn cigarette, I don't have to smoke to get the cancer. Secondhand smoke. And they're saying e-cigarettes, they'll kill you, right? They're just slower. You know, that kinder, gentler death. Where instead of dying at 60, you'll vape until your 80s. And in the meantime, they can make that money off of you because eventually it's going to come out, oh, well, you got to do this, and it's a new kind of cancer or whatever it's doing. Because they say that there's no research on it. There are no effects that come. But as we know, you got to wait 5 years. You wait 5 years, and then folks will start, they'll start having, like, cancerous lesions on their penis from vaping. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you know, it's always something after the fact. You find out, you're like, damn, really? That's what happens with vaping? So you look at it, you're like, okay. My theory is they want to kill you slower. There's money to be made in not killing you quick. The longer you last, the more you vape, and the more you're going to need medicine because you vape. Don't believe that one? Well, for you people who indulge in swine, you know, bacon, got to have that bacon. Hey, I ain't hating on you, but they got something for you too. Way back in 1945, Alexander Fleming. Let me be clear. Alexander Fleming is the man who discovered penicillin, and he's on record as warning that the overuse of penicillin could make bacteria immune to it. Now, we fast forward. The Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, you know those people who try real hard to do stuff to you, pump drugs to you. They say that antibiotic-resistant bacteria infect more than 2 million people a year, and at least 23,000 of whom die. Now, a major part of that overuse, the CDC says, is feeding the drugs to the animals that we eat. Now, it's said that the farmers don't do it to cure or prevent disease, but actually just to make the livestock grow bigger and faster, i.e. your steroids, whatever the hell else they put into the food. So, of course, they said the FDA stepped in and asked the drug companies to stop selling antibiotics, right? And this is, they're saying, hey, stop selling antibiotics for the purpose of promoting the growth of animals by the end of December 2016, which is about 3 weeks from now. Now, of course, there's a but to this, because the agency still allows the use of the drugs for disease prevention. However, that is to fight off infections that the animals have not gotten yet. So, on one hand, they're telling us, hey, we're stopping them from giving them drugs to grow bigger. But we have to make sure that they give the animals drugs so that they don't get sick, even though they aren't sick. But they're saying, well, the drugs keep them from being sick. Now, what does that have to do with you? Going back to Alexander Fleming. Hey, if you overuse penicillin, they become bacteria resistant. Okay? Now, you are indulging, and I'm not going to say it's just swine, but we're just using swine as an example. And if you don't know what twine is, it's just tea, pork. But I prefer to call it twine because twine sounds so much better. Anyway, you say you're eating these pigs that are resistant to the bacteria, so they're carrying all kinds of, I mean, we know pigs are some of the filthiest animals on the face of the earth. They eat whatever. It doesn't even matter. Doo-doo, whatever. They will eat that and love it. Get big, fat, and nasty over it. But, you know, they're given these drugs and they become resistant to whatever. So they have it, and I mean, are they really testing? As we know, you can eat swine that other white meat. We know swine can give you psoriasis, mess your skin up, stress you out, give you hypertension, and of course eventually kill you. Give you that heart attack, whatnot. Sounds familiar with some other white stuff. Maybe people, I don't know. I could be saying it. I could not be saying it. I don't know. And I want to say this to white people who have listened and are listening to me. I'm not saying that all white people are bad in any way, shape, or form. I always want to throw that out there. I mean, because I'm gonna play the race card. I have white friends, and we're good. We're buddies. I'm talking about a system that systematically, of course, breaks people like me down and is geared toward making us second class citizens, right? So, back to the pork, the swine, the cop, I mean, the pigs. It's an issue. It's a serious issue. My conspiracy theory, you know, a lot of people like that pig from the rootin' to the tootin'. You hear that? And I started off by saying, hey, it's not just black. I mean, wealthy people want poor people gone. I mean, Richard Nixon wrote about how to get rid of poor people. Like, that was it, how to get rid of poor people. I always want to say that because he did. Anyway, like I talked about the cigarettes, messing with your health. It looks good, it smells good, but it's horrible for you. We know, bacon, pork chops, whatever. It smells good, it'll look good, but that shit'll kill you. And it's what people do. And they fund this. Now, and this is the funniest part. Like I talked about the contradictions that they had with it. Here's the other contradiction. They proposed $375 million, but they said they only funded it $8.7 million. And this is earmarked for the FDA to address antibiotic resistance in the first place. So you need $9 million to address drugs. I mean, if they gave me like $9,000, I could address it. In the heart, don't do it. You like Nancy Reagan, just say no. But I make sure that my woman is in the next room with whatever general selling it in Norway or Iceland or wherever I can get that crack in and get that extra money. And then go on national TV like Reagan. You know, my heart said I didn't do it. But the facts remain that I did do it. I can't even make these lies up. They're so true. These are all true things. And this is the theory. My conspiracy theory. Kill you slowly. They say we're fighting it, but we're not. It's just happening. Whatever. I think I need to go on break. This is past show guest, A Prime. Higher.
Rhymes and life. With my pad and my pen, I find a way to jot incredible lines to make the heads wanna check the rhyme. Matic makes beats, got a soul, hit you jazz. We wanna leave a mark like footprints in the sand. God lives through my spiritual flow. Food for thought, grab a doggy bag, son, I got lyrics to go. My power is that of a trillion times 100,000, abstract, eccentric. They tell me that I'm bugging out, loving hip hop, and it's been so long since I met my girl Benita and she had to put me on. So whether London, NY, or Japan, I go to each and every place with the mic in my hand and take them high, way above the clouds, way above the clouds, be going. Bottles in my lawn. Eagle tripping, eight rhymes stay grounded, attracting all the biddies in the BK lounges. They wanna break me off with beats and they sunshine, but when it comes to being buddies, gonna stay inside. Maybe 3 feet high and rising. 3 is the magic number, rock, matic, and prime. And the words that I speak over Big Brother's beats may be complex to you, it's so easy to me. Music is my native tongue, and I keep it alive. With my iPod, rocking me myself and not. So when I step up in the room and I lower the room, they lie. Automatic with them dead live souls who soon they lie. Your word up, we take them high. Way above the clouds. Way above the clouds, be going.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
Alright, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was A Prime. Higher. I have to get the brothers back on the show. I haven't talked to them in a minute. 347-826-7435. Give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Now, Groundhog Day. You know, we can't go a show without talking about Groundhog Day. There's so many Groundhog Day scenarios. Cops getting off shooting black people. That's Groundhog Day. That's the American Groundhog Day from day one. But we talking about Native Americans here. I saw there's the guy who's Dave, and I'm gonna mess his name up, so y'all forgive me. Dave Archambault. He's the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and he's like telling the Sioux, the non-Sioux protesters, they can leave the North Dakota protest camp because the government ruled in their favor. You know, if you don't know, the Standing Rock, the pipeline project that's adjacent to their land. Now, he comes on, he's like, yeah, I'm asking them to go. Their presence will only cause the environment to be unsafe, he said of the non-Sioux protesters, adding that he hopes to meet with incoming President Donald Trump to educate him about the decision made and the future of the pipeline. Now, I'm laughing because he says he's hoping to meet with Donald Trump to educate him about the decision made and the future of the pipeline. Now, Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump. That dude, Donald Trump. Okay, now, Donald Trump, I said his name like 500 times in a row, actually had a stake in the Dakota Access Pipeline. He had he owned in between 15,000 and 50,000 of the partner stock. So now they say the sale must have taken place since this past summer. But Trump spokeswoman Hope Hicks did not say if he also sold his shares of Phillips 66, which also has an investment in the project. And not only that, not only is he invested in the project, you know, he's talking about bringing jobs back to America, and this pipeline is jobs in America, even though it's on Native American land. You know, that 2% of the land where there was nothing. So you wanted to, like, throw the Native Americans on it? Anyway, yeah, Donald Trump got what do we call it? Some would say it's a donation, but we call it a bribe in most circles. He got $100,000 during a fundraising when he was running for president. Now, of course, Hope Hicks, his spokeswoman, says, hey, that's not going to affect Trump's decision when he takes office. Because, you know, politicians never, I mean, especially politicians like Donald Trump who are ruled by money, they never, ever, 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 ever side with the people who are giving them money. They just don't. Because it's just it's just not what they do because, like you say, he's draining the swamp. He's going to put a pipeline through the swamp when he drains it, but drain the swamp regardless. Now, Archambault is talking about protesters go home. I'm going to meet with the guy, the president, the incoming president, who is on record saying, yeah, fuck everybody. We're going to make America great again. Making America great again means we must, one, screw over the Native Americans, and two, find a way to make black folks work for free again. Which part of that, you know, jails, whatnot, that's accomplished. And the pipeline going through Native American land. And as a matter of fact, the other funny part, Groundhog Day, Trump's advisors are all gung-ho about going through the reservations. They want to, what's the word I'm looking for? Free the resources from the Native American lands. And let me use their words. There's a, as they call it, a suffocating federal bureaucracy that holds title to 56 million acres of tribal land. And this is from a coalition, and they told Reuters, which is a news organization, in different interviews. And what they're proposing, this coalition group, they're proposing to put the lands into private ownership. which, of course, the Indians own the land, and they're governed by tribal leaders as sovereign nations. But we know treaties mean nothing. I mean, they're going to take 56 million acres of tribal land and get the oil, because apparently a fifth of the nation's oil and gas, along with coal reserves, on those Native American lands. So the 2% that they had left, you know, it used to be 100%. And it went from 100 to 98, and they had 2%. Like, yeah, you're about to get up off that 2%, homie. And for those who say, nah, it ain't gonna go down like that, They're gonna honor the Native Americans. Well, from 1778 to 1871, the United States government has entered into more than 500 treaties with the Native American tribes, according to Avalon Law and Wikipedia, along with the government's website. Over 500 treaties, and every last one of them has been broken. Now, and I quote them, they say, however, violations by one party do not nullify the treaties, and the treaties are still in effect. And they say the Native Americans and First Nations people are still fighting for their treaty rights in federal courts and at the United Nations. Yeah, good luck with that. First treaty, 1778, the Treaty of Fort Pitt. And we come all the way up to, what's this last treaty? Before they was like, you know what, we're going to throw y'all on these godforsaken lands here. Because it's a long-ass list of treaties. Long-ass list of treaties. I mean, you can go on for, we're talking, whoo. Okay, yeah, this last one, the 1904 Turtle Mountain Chippewa Treaty, a 10-cent treaty. It's the agreement with the Turtle Mountain Band, amended and ratified, and of course, broken. Yeah. So, Archambault, either he is one of the dumbest Native American leaders ever, or somebody slipped, you know, like you're in the office and they're not saying, hey, we want to bribe you. It just, he's in the office and his door is shut and boom, a check mysteriously comes underneath the door, or something comes up on his computer screen. You have a deposit of $1 million. It's like, oh, my direct deposit just went through. I mean, yeah, the Supreme Court ruled in your favor for now. And once in Peep the Film Game, once the protesters leave and the news people are gone, what happens? I'm a guess, mysteriously, the pipeline is going to be approved. Because, you know, the American people are going to forget all about that. You know, it don't take long, and nobody really gives a damn about Native Americans anyway. There's not many of them left, no way. So, you know, this going about that, the final execution. I won't say execution, but the final nail in the coffin. They kind of run out of Native Americans. But the fact that this dude is talking about, oh yeah, leave. Now, I'm not Nostradamus or a psychic by any stretch of the imagination, but here's how I'm thinking it's going to go down. Protesters leave. He gets that second direct deposit because, you know, he gets paid every month, I guess. That second direct deposit of $1 million just mysteriously shows up because, you know, he works hard for the money. So hard for the money. So you better treat him right. that goes through. The pipeline gets approved mysteriously. And boom. You have Native Americans screaming, but they're not on TV and no one cares. Because in Trump's America, which is America, but back to the days of, hey, we're going to say we hate you and we're really going to mean it, and there's not a goddamn you can do about it. So Groundhog Day, screwing over the Native Americans, writing a treaty with them, and then of course breaking it, because that's kind of what we do, right? And as people, we don't care. Because, hey, so long as it ain't happening to us, right? On that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. I see you on the other side.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.